Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ministry of Finance third quarter 2003 report and the Economics Program for 2004 conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following today's presentation. It is now my pleasure to introduce Alonso Garcia, the Undersecretary of Finance and Public Credit. Sir, you may begin.
Hello. Good morning, and welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance third quarter 2003 results and economic program for 2004 conference call. Here with me are Alejandro Werner, who is the General Director of Macroeconomic Policy, and Andres Conesa, who is the General Director of Public Credit. What I would like to do today is first to make some comments about the main macroeconomic developments for 2003 and the expected fiscal results for the year. Then I will talk about the federal budget for 2004 and the tax reform proposal submitted to Congress. And finally, I will make some remarks and open the floor for questions, which will be answered by myself and by my colleagues. Let me start with the macroeconomic developments in 2003. First, the Mexican economy faced an environment of lackluster manufacturing activity in the U.S., increased external competition from China in the U.S. market, a comfortable international price of oil, and favorable capital market conditions. Therefore, economic weakness in 2003 was linked to our main trading partners' weak recovery of manufacturing activity, and the sources of growth rotated towards domestic demand. In particular, private consumption spending and public investment have been holding up well during the economic slowdown. For the year, we are expecting GDP to post an annual growth rate of approximately 1.5%, inflation below the upper limit of Banco de Mexico's target band, which is 4%, and a current account deficit below 2% of GDP. The economic recovery is expected to intensify in the fourth quarter, driven mainly by manufacturing. Some encouraging signs in this direction are, first, a rebound in formal employment observed recently. Total urban workers registered at the Mexican Institute of Social Security, which is the closest definition that we could take to what you call formal non-farm payroll. This concept increased 104,000 in October. The monthly increase after adjusting for seasonal effects was 0.15%, the first positive variation since November 2002. An increase in foreign trade would be the other element that I would like to point out. Total exports and imports posted strong gains in their annual rates of growth in September. The growth rate of non-oil exports was the product of increases in all of its components. One of the most positive signs is that manufacturing exports rebounded in September after 2 months of contraction. The annual rate of these rebounds reached 4.7%. On the imports side, it is worth noting that both consumption and capital goods imports rebounded in September, posting annual increases of 11 and 7.8% respectively. In regards to the public finances, we estimate that the public sector deficit will be below the 0.5% of GDP target. The expenditures associated to the voluntary retirement program for the public sector workers will generate a 0.1 of GDP deviation from the original 0.5% of GDP fiscal deficit target. This deviation was specified in the budget approved by Congress for 2003. Budgetary revenues are expected to be higher than originally anticipated due to mainly two factors. One, favorable oil revenues, and the second, higher earnings from public entities under direct budgetary control, unrelated to the oil industry. However, non-oil tax revenues will be slightly lower than expected in the 2003 budget, in spite of a real increase of 8.4% in value-added tax revenues. Non-oil tax revenues were affected by the Supreme Court's ruling on substitutive tax to the salary credit and its effect on corporate income tax revenues, as well as certain tax modifications which were enacted by Congress before approving the budget for 2003. Programmable expenditures are expected to surpass the approved amount by almost 60 billion pesos due to additional expenditures triggered by higher revenues and by a voluntary retirement program for public sector employees. Additional expenditures were directed to cover the higher energy costs of electricity generation, infrastructure for states and municipalities, deposits to the oil stabilization fund, to capitalize manobras, and to increase the expenditure cap of those public entities which generated excess revenues. Once the headline fiscal deficit is adjusted for PIDIREGAS, IPAR expenses, budgetary adjustments, debtor support programs, FARAC, and financial intermediation by government-owned development banks, the public sector borrowing requirements for 2003 are estimated at 3% of GDP. Let me move to talk on the federal budget for 2004. The economic program for 2004 was built with the following macroeconomic assumption: a U.S. GDP growth of 3.8%, U.S. manufacturing growth of 4%, an average oil price for the Mexican crude oil mix of $20 per barrel, and an adequate availability of foreign financing for emerging markets. In this scenario, the economic strategy is geared towards strengthening the domestic sources of growth. Private investment and consumption are expected to contribute to growth substantially in 2004. The following macroeconomic forecasts are part of the economic program that was sent to Congress: GDP growth of 3.1%, inflation at 3%, which is in line with the target set by Banco de Mexico, a current account deficit that remains below the 3% of GDP. Actually, we are incorporating a 2.6% current account deficit target estimation, in spite of the anticipated reduction in the international price of oil, which is below the average price estimation that one can obtain from current futures market price pools. In order to achieve the macroeconomic conditions necessary for recovery, the Mexican government will continue to push through an agenda of structural reforms and will maintain a prudent fiscal stand to consolidate macroeconomic stability. The federal budget for 2004 seeks to advance the fiscal consolidation effort of the current administration by aiming for a fiscal deficit reduction to 0.3% of GDP, which is estimated to reduce the PSBR to 2.7% of GDP. Fiscal prudence for 2004 is going to require an additional effort due to an expected reduction of 0.7% of GDP on oil-related revenues and an anticipated decrease of 0.2% of non-oil tax revenues. In order to advance in fiscal tightening, a substantial reduction of programmable expenditure is being budgeted for 2004. Programmable expenditure is budgeted to decrease in 2004 by 4% in real terms with respect to the estimate for 2003, and nevertheless, programmable social spending is going to increase 1% in real terms for the year. Regardless of the fact that the fiscal stance is being tightened, the administration recognizes that oil revenues continue to play an important role in Mexican fiscal accounts. Therefore, the expenditure budget contemplates adjustment mechanisms which would become binding if revenues evolve differently from what is being budgeted. This mechanism adjusts spending in order to maintain the fiscal balance as projected, while it preserves the spending in strategic areas such as education, health, equal opportunities, rural development, and infrastructure. The tighter fiscal stance proposed for 2004 implies less financing needs for the Mexican public sector as a percentage of GDP. Furthermore, the federal government is proposing to reduce net foreign indebtedness by $500 million in the year 2004. This is the first time in recent economic history that the federal government proposes a reduction in net public debt. In net foreign public debt, sorry. In this context, the federal government will tap domestic financial markets to cover all of its financing needs and to reduce the external debt. At the same time, we will continue issuing long-term fixed-rate peso bonds in the domestic markets to continue lengthening the average maturity of domestic debt and to reduce the interest rate risk of interest payments. This policy creates a long-term yield curve which can be used as a benchmark for private sector issuers. In this respect, it should be mentioned that late in October, the Ministry of Finance successfully issued a 20-year fixed-rate bond in the domestic market for the first time in the country's history, and that the yield was only marginally higher than that of the 10-year fixed-rate peso bond. Let me move now to the tax reform proposal for 2004 and make some comments on that subject. This year, we actualized the medium-term macroeconomic framework and the fiscal consolidation path. Additionally, a medium-term analysis of the most likely revenue and expenditure trends of public finances without any legal modifications or new expenditure programs shows that the net pressures for the fiscal balance will undergo between 1.5% and 2% of GDP. These numbers point out that it is necessary to increase public sector revenues in order to comply with the fiscal consolidation medium-term path re-established in the General Policy Guidelines for 2004 without a reduction in fiscal expenditure. Furthermore, Mexican non-oil fiscal revenues are relatively low with respect to GDP when the country is compared with other emerging market economies with similar development indicators. The composition between direct and indirect taxation is distorted because the Mexican value-added tax is very inefficient. The low revenue efficiency of the VAT is directly linked to the fact that roughly 50% of the consumption is being taxed, and indirectly to the multiple rates and exemption regimes in the tax code which complicate the tax administration tasks. In this context, a fiscal reform proposal was submitted to Congress together with the economic program for 2004. The main feature of the proposal recently submitted is an homogenized VAT rate of 10%. The shift to a single and lower VAT rate with fewer exemptions is expected to yield significant efficiency gains in tax collections. A lower tax rate increases the incentives to comply with the tax code. On the other hand, a single tax rate without exemptions is expected to reduce evasion and to enhance the self-generating compliance inherent to a VAT rate. And finally, the efficiency of VAT collection is expected to return to the level observed in the 1992-1994 period when the VAT tax rate was at 10%. Economic efficiency is also expected to improve with a single VAT rate because relative prices will cease to be distorted by multiple tax rates and exceptions. A 2% sales tax collected by the state, final sales tax collected by the states, is also being proposed in order to augment their tax collection capacity and to strengthen the federalist structure of public finances in Mexico. The substitutive tax to the salary credit is eliminated from the tax code for 2004 after it was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in 2003. A reform for the fiscal regime of Pemex has also been submitted to Congress. The proposal tries to place Pemex on a level field with respect to other corporations which are exploiting non-renewable resources. Furthermore, the proposed fiscal regime for Pemex would improve the financial position of the company and would leave more resources available for investment. The proposal's main features are a lower tax rate for new oil fields and exemptions for those which now have a very low production because they are older oil fields. In this way, Pemex will have the incentives for new exploration investments, and the oil fields which now have low production will be exploited until they are extinguished. The new fiscal regime for Pemex is expected to allow the company to generate more resources, which it will use to finance its investment project. In the future, Pemex would be a less leveraged corporation allowing it to access international capital markets in better terms. Finally, I would like to make some comments. The proposed fiscal reform and the rest of the structural agenda pending in Mexico are fundamental issues which have to be addressed in order to increase the potential growth rate for the economy. Congress is intensely discussing the proposal, and a consensus on the need for reform seems to be emerging from this discussion. Several alternatives to the original proposal are being discussed. Some of the alternatives currently discussed could be more gradual. However, any structural improvement in public finances will be a positive factor that will reinforce the commitment to a sound fiscal stance and will enhance the revenue efficiency of the tax system. In addition, the administration will maintain a flexible management of government expenditure, which will continue to guarantee compliance with the fiscal consolidation medium-term path that has been published. And with this, I will conclude my comments, and we will open the floor for questions, which will be answered by myself and by Mr. Alejandro Werner and Andres Conesa. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 1 followed by 4 on your telephone keypad at this time. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We do ask that while you pose your question, to please utilize your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Once again, that is 1 followed by 4 for any questions at this time. Our first question is coming from Gray Newman of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much. One question, Alonso, on the if you could just maybe run through some of the numbers on if the value-added tax is reduced from 15 to 10, and if food and medicine, for example, are included at 5%, excluding for a second the efficiency gains or reduction in evasion, what would be the net effect on public finances? And then if you could also give us any estimates you have on the gains that would be associated with a more homogenized tax rate.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank
yes,
you.
On the first part of your question, if we were to adjust VAT rate from 15 to 10%, the amount it would have per hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Okay. The total impact it would have would be in the order of 5,000 million pesos. That's 5 billion pesos.
Okay.
That's without efficiency.
Right. Okay.
And Alejandro is gonna give you the estimate on efficiency. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, with regards to the efficiency gains, if we go to a full homogenized rate at 10%, the efficiency gains could be between 35,000 million pesos and 60,000 billion pesos, depending the year that you take as reference as the peak efficiency year that we have had in the past, and this will be some year between 92 and 94. So the full effect of the reform in terms of net income for the government could be between, let's say, 0.6% of GDP and up to 1% of GDP.
Okay. And then if the food is, I guess alternatively, if the food is included and medicine, the bulk of it at 5%, there is some additional tax revenue gain, but then there is also some offsetting loss on the efficiency front. Is that right?
I mean, we were talking before of a full 10% rate where food and medicine was taxed at 10%.
Okay.
We wrote a situation in which food and medicine go to 5%, then you have some net losses on the revenue impact without an efficiency gain, and you actually go to a net loss. And then the efficiency gains will convert this into a net revenue gain. However, the revenue gain through efficiency with a rate that is not fully homogenized will be much lower than the numbers that I just gave you.
Right. Thank you. Do you have any estimates on the range of what that would be?
I would tend to say that the range that I just gave you would be the, maybe divided by half in the case in which you go with a 5% rate in food and medicine.
Thank you.
Our next question is coming from Matthias Silvani of UBS. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks, all three, for this. Just very two quick questions. One is, are there any plans to submit a formal pension reform for the public sector workers in 2004? And the second question is, the rules for spending and revenues, in case revenues are overestimated or underestimated in 2004, what exactly are they for 2004? Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. On the first part of your question, yes, we are planning to submit a pension reform for public sector employees. The idea is to move to a system similar to what was adopted for private sector employees some years ago, and that is to a capitalization scheme. And the idea would be not only to deal with a problem which is going to be and to gravitate very negatively on public sector finances in the years to come, but also to deal with an efficiency issue, and that is to allow public and private sector employees to move from one sector to the other without losing the benefits of their pensions, no? And to be able to partly accumulate a professional life in one sector or the other, and together to make to be able to obtain the pension benefits. No? So yes, we are planning to submit the pension reform later, but during this congressional period. On the automatic stabilizers, I will have Alejandro to comment on that.
Yeah. Basically, the same rules that have applied in the past few years will be applying this year, subject to approval by Congress. And basically, we could be compensating the fall in oil revenues by using the funds we have deposited in the oil stabilization fund. And then after that, we will be implementing expenditure cuts that would be affecting the, let's say, those parts of the budget that have a lower priority in this year budget. So we will start by cutting in personal services, then we will generate some savings on non-investment programs and those programs that do not have a high percentage on social expenditures like education, health, and poverty alleviation. And then we will continue in cutting expenditure on those areas that are not associated either with investment expenditures or social expenditures.
Thanks. Just a follow-up question. How much money do you estimate to be in this oil fund by the end of this year?
We don't have yet the final figures, and it's only based on estimations that we have sent money to the fund. Up to now, estimations are 3.5 billion pesos, which are deposited in the oil stabilization fund.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Paulo Riera-Cuna of HSBC Securities, Inc. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, and thank you, Alonso and Alejandro and Andres, for this update. I have a two-part question. I mean, first, I would like to go back to Gray's question on the impact of the VAT, and the question is this: as a percentage of total expenditure that you have now, how much would and assuming that the VAT is reduced to 5% on the foods and medicines, how much of expenditure that is now in the budget would have to be cut? I wasn't very clear on the response if that would be a necessary implication, supposing that there were no other revenue sources. And the second question is really on the PSBR. If I understood Alonso correctly, you have re-estimated the PSBR from what you put in the criterios, where you had an estimate of 3.6% for the end 2003 PSBR. You're now estimating 3%. I wonder where this reduction come from. If you were to include the deficit of the public sector pension system, the IMSS, how much would that PSBR be, and would there be any impact on it in this coming year from the proposed reform?
Okay. Yes. Let me try to clarify on the answer that was given to Gray Newman initially.